class of buying time, killing people that's in line. Lower class of social slime, they don't matter. Genocide, sick from water, sick from air. Making money, they don't care. Censorship, force of air. Fuck them back, it's only for they more. They shoot, they kill, they massacre, they burn the kids. No one thinks gun, trees, lie to your face. Social slide, they don't matter, genocide. Sick from water, sick from air. Making money, they don't care. See the shit, force of air. Fuck them back, it's only fair. They bomb, they shoot, they kill. They massacre, rape, they burn the kids. No more things, gun, trees, lie to your face. Fight and die, cause God forgives. Yeah.
Welcome to the show. I'm your host, Ron Stevens. This is Rock the Boat right here on UCY.TV. And glad to be here. I'm going to check out what the date is. 13th. We're almost at Halloween. Getting closer to it anyways. The weather's cooling down. But the nonsense is not. I should just change the name again to Bizarro World. Maybe that would be a better name, but I think we're just going to have to keep rocking the boat till such time as we get this fixed. Anyways, I just got off the phone with a friend of mine who is Enos Martin, who has been rolled over by the cops for a very long time, not as long as Michael Schmidt, but for a very long time. So as soon as I can find that, I'm going to put it in the chat. And that is, where is that hiding at? Where did that get to? Where did I put that? This is something that just happened. I think it was yesterday. Here it is. And this is from my neck of the woods. We've had Michael on the show before. Michael Schmidt, the raw milk farmer from Durham, Ontario, who they've been chasing for 22 years. So I got a call from Enos yesterday morning, and give him a call back, find out what was going on, and he couldn't talk because he was talking to some radio stations. And what happened yesterday, back a year ago in October, Michael's farm was raided by the authorities. And they loaded up all his milk and whatever else they could get their hands on, computer equipment, whatnot. Michael had just put out on Facebook, they were being raided, and a pile of people showed up there, and they blocked the laneway so that the police and the ministry people couldn't get out of there with the truck. The cube van that they'd loaded up, and it was mostly women that were... The women were actually in a very bad mood to have these excuse me I hope I don't have Hillary Clinton syndrome Anyway, so the ladies were the ones that really stood the police and the government officials down and forced them to unload the truck and simply told them that they were not going to steal their food. And so in the process, Michael and four other people were charged with obstruction, including Enos. So this has been going on for a year. They've been dragged in and out of court for a year. I still don't think they've been given all the disclosure they're looking for. But I was talking to Enos this morning and asked him what was going on yesterday. I didn't realize that Michael and them were back in court yesterday. And Enos was saying that he couldn't talk because the phone or the radio stations had been calling him. And I go, what the hell's going on? And he goes, well, we were in court yesterday. Well, I didn't even make it there, he said. I was on my way there. I was almost there. And then Michael called me on his cell phone telling me that the charge of it was dropped. And I said, so they dropped the charges on everybody? No, just me. Well, why are they dropping the charge on you and not the other guys? And what they said in the court was that they didn't have enough evidence against Enos, but Enos was talking to one of the other gentleman's lawyers, and or Enos wasn't talking to the lawyer, but one of the guys that was charged, it was explaining to his client that the reason they dropped the charges on Enos was that he had been arrested three times on the same warrant, had been roughed up, beat up, hurt, so that's why they were dropping the charges. In other words, they didn't want Enos on the stand, is why they dropped the charges, because of what the police have done to Enos, what the court has done to Enos. Enos actually got charges filed of assault causing bodily harm the second time he was arrested, even though he'd already been processed, and he explained to the police that he had been processed. They said they didn't believe him. He told them the paperwork is sitting in his truck just over there, so if we go look at the paperwork, you will see that I just got home and that it has been processed. But instead, they roughed him up. And then they looked at the paperwork, and then they released him. He went to the hospital. They took the pictures. The doctor was ticked right off about what had taken place. He put in an information against the two officers. It ended up in court, but before they could get it into process, the Crown stepped forward and said that they're going to drop the charges against the two officers because it's not in the public interest to move forward, and there's very little chance of a conviction. So Enos now has a civil suit going against these two cops. And this is welcome to our legal system, boys and girls. This is our legal system. But anyways, this just gets more bizarre by the day. 22 years later, it's starting to turn in the right direction. Anyways, it says charges withdrawn in Schmidt-related cases. Now, why are these Schmidt-related cases? They're just cases. Michael Schmidt remains before the courts, but others see charges dropped. A number of charges have been withdrawn by the courts in connection with cases involving Michael Schmidt. See, they put Michael up as the ringleader because Michael is fighting the moral fight. The legal system is an amoral system. They can't have moral, principled people fighting against them because the legal system can't beat a moral man. Connection with a case involving Michael Schmidt. The Durham area milk producer has been fighting for 22 years. For 22 years to get the rules changed concerning raw milk. You likely remember a standoff that occurred October 2nd of last year at Schmidt's farm. When officials tried to move on the property to seize equipment, dozens of supporters showed up to block them. One of those charged with obstruction was Enos Martin, of Chatsworth Township. The charge against him was withdrawn in Wackerton Court yesterday, with the Crown saying there was no reasonable expectation of conviction. Well, if there's no expectation of conviction against Enos, then there's no expectation of conviction against those the other ones that were charged. That's just simple logic. The reason the charges were withdrawn were put forward by the lawyer of one of the other people that was charged, and that is that Enos had been arrested three times for the same thing, and roughed up, beat up, and that's why the charges were dropped. It has nothing to do with conviction. It's that Enos has managed to make himself such a thorn in their sides and got lawyers driving on these guys hard that they don't want him speaking in the courtroom, is why the charges were dropped. Martin says he was arrested three times on the same charge, which he was. Meanwhile, charges have now been withdrawn against Robert Pennell of Southern Gray County. Now, Robert Pennell is also charged with obstruction, I believe, along with Michael Schmidt and three other people. The police didn't even bother delivering the summonses, which they are supposed to do. What they did was they called Robert, I believe, and just told Robert that he had to go to the police station and pick up a summons, and to phone the others that have been charged and tell them to come down and pick up their summonses. Now, that ain't how it operates, but that's how these guys operate. So all of the rest of the parties on the charge that's in front of the court, as far as the standoff is concerned, stand, except for Enos. But Robert Pennell, this is another case that Michael, they have nothing on Michael. But if anything goes on, they're going to go after Michael because they've got him pegged as a ringleader. So originally, he was charged in 2012, along with Michael Schmidt, Montana Jones, and Susan Atkinson, with conspiracy in connection with the disappearance of 31 sheep that were under quarantine in eastern Ontario. Those charges against Pennell were withdrawn in Newmarket Court Tuesday. Michael Schmidt and Montana Jones are due back in court in that case on November 21st through to the 23rd. It doesn't say that in this particular article, but they're booked there for, I think, a three-day trial. And finally, the injunction case against distributing raw milk is on hold until at least May, accounting to Schmidt. This follows a ruling by a judge in Newmarket that 156 people will be allowed to testify at the case against Schmidt. Now, the sheep thing, just really quickly, Montana Jones, who's a farm down near Peterborough, or not Peterborough, well, Peterborough, yeah, down around Peterborough, the government officials came in and told her that a sheep that he had, that she had sold to someone in Alberta had scrapie, I think it's called. And she had to put her sheep down. And she says her sheep don't have any diseases. And this is another case of the anything that is heritage has to be wiped off the map. So she had a flock of rare heritage sheep. And so they wanted to test for the disease. The only problem is, in order to test for the disease, the animal has to be dead. And she eventually, offered them the idea that, I'll quarantine them for 2 years, and if they don't show any signs of any disease, then we can pretty much think they're clean. And that didn't work, so she offered to allow them to put down one of the sheep and test it. And if it comes back negative, then we pretty much sure the other ones are going to come back negative because this is a closed flock. She's not bringing sheep in and out of there. This is a closed flock. That was no good for them. They wanted to kill them all. So somewhere, and basically these guys, they don't give a damn because the legal system, again, is amoral. So what they told her to do is get a backhoe or somebody to come in and dig a hole, and they would kill all the sheep, and then they could bury them when they're done with them, when they're done testing them. And so before they came to kill the sheep disappeared. There was a note on the barn by those by some group saying the sheep are safe, but they've been moved to a safe location. Now Robert Pennell admitted in court that he was the one that actually transported the sheep from the one farm to the other farm. Yet they dropped the charges on him, but that was under four. That was after 1,403 days. 12,000 pieces of legal documents, and they all of a sudden just up and drop the charges against. Why? That's the question. Because they're after Michael. They want Michael's ass. Why? Because Michael's doing what Michael has every right to do, and what you have every right to do, I have every right to do, and that's to decide what it is we are going to eat and drink. And nobody and no government nowhere can tell you otherwise, period. And that's been the fight over the milk. And they want Michael. So they're still chasing his ass 22 years later, but they're starting to lose cases now. Michael won his case of against, he was charged with theft of cameras. The cameras were being used to spy on the farm. They weren't informed that there were cameras out there. There was no markings on the cameras. Somebody found the cameras. They phoned the police, said they'd found the cameras, and that if the rightful owner will step forward, they will return the cameras to them. But instead of that, the police knew who put the cameras there. They didn't admit who put the cameras there. And eventually, Michael was charged for theft of these said cameras. And that was finally, after I think 8 visits to court, thrown out or was discharged. And Michael was found not guilty. So now we have Robert Pennell, who admitted he moved the sheep, and they're not moving forward on him. Enos Martin, on the obstruction charge, they're not moving forward on him. And it's basically all about Michael. And they would have went after Enos, except Enos has got so much on these cops now, they don't want him talking in the courtroom. But anyways, I'll put up a picture here in the story. You can go to the Bovine, for those listening that are in the chat, you can go to the Bovine and go there. And all of the stories about Michael Schmidt are posted, court dates and all this kind of stuff. And it's not just about Michael, although he takes up a great deal of space on the site. It is about your right to food, real food, not this bullshit that people are shoving down their throats every day, making themselves ill. This is about a group of people that want you to be healthy, and so that's what these folks are up to. So I was talking to Enos just before airtime, exactly about 30 seconds before we went on air. And he was probably, hopefully, going to come on the show on Sunday. And maybe we can get Michael on the show, and maybe we can get John Schnur on the show, whose lawyer apparently told him why they were dumping the charges on Enos. So maybe we can get some of those guys back on the show to go through some of this stuff and correct some of the mistakes maybe I made in what I'm saying. But basically, it's the gist of the situation. And this stuff's got to stop. This has got to stop. What I just put in the chat there. Now, Robert had very short hair and no beard. And when this nonsense went down, when they were charged on sheep napping or whatever the hell the charge was, that's when Robert quit cutting his hair and quit shaving. So that's 1,403 days of growth. And I'm not so sure he's going to shave right away or cut his hair right away. I'm sure he will let it grow in support of Michael and Montana Jones. It's amazing how fast somebody's life can be ripped to shreds. That's what your legal system does for you. They are not your friends. They've never been your friends. They are not lawful. They're not moral. And these fights have to be taken from the moral. The courts fear more, or the government fears more than a reasonable man. And that's what tort law is all based on, reasonable man. And is it reasonable for me to drink raw milk if I wish to drive? Well, of course it is. Is it reasonable for me to move the sheep to protect their lives? And, oh, by the way, after they killed all the sheep, Montana Jones' heritage sheep, once they killed the 31 sheep and did the test, guess what? All the sheep came back negative. So there's a sheep, a heritage, there's a flock of sheep, heritage sheep that is no more. So we know the legal system is amoral. We know that law is moral, and by the actions of the police and the courts, well, it's obvious they're not moral. They never, ever, ever show any remorse. Have you ever seen a cop that shot some mentally incompetent person? I hate using that, man or woman. Ever show any remorse? No. Why is that? Because the system doesn't allow it. Only a moral man or a woman is remorseful when they've hurt someone that they didn't need to hurt, or something they didn't need to hurt. But this is absolute bullcrap, and it's got to come to an end. And I want to thank the police, and I want to thank the courts, and I want to thank the government for making your treachery, your tyranny, so obvious to so many. And those that are getting wind of this now are growing exponentially. So yes, your days of tyranny are numbered. Make no mistake about it. Now, there was another... here's something I definitely want to put in here tonight. Hopefully I still got it open. Here it is. I want everyone to listen to this. Now, if this doesn't kick up at the right time, it should kick up, but if it doesn't, just go to the 47-minute mark of this. This is government management. This is in Toronto. And Derek Moran is speaking, and I have got to get him on the show. This gentleman is doing some phenomenal work. He attends all of these meetings, be it a police board hearing or whatever. He is Adam, and he knows what the hell he's talking about. And he's putting it out there in front of these people. Of course, they never acknowledge any of it. They never have a question for Derek. Because they're told not to talk to Derek. Don't ask this man a question, because he knows exactly what the hell's going on, and he knows his stuff. So do not, whatever you do, do not engage this man. But he's doing some extremely fine work, and we should all take our hats off to Derek, and do need to get him on the show. And for those who may be listening and not in the chat, you can just go to YouTube and punch in Government Management Committee, October the 11th, 2016, go to the 47-minute mark, and Derek speaks for 5 minutes. In this case, a little bit longer. They tried to shut him down at the five-minute mark, but he explained that the previous speaker was allowed to go over by 40 seconds, so he just plowed ahead to get done what he had to say. But this is very important stuff that people need to know. And it has to do about the enacting clause, of which the provincial offenses do not have an enacting clause. Therefore, at best, as Derek describes it, it is color of law or fraud. And that he has had correspondence with Peter Hogg, who is put forward as the single most competent person to understand our charter and constitution here in Canada, even though he's from New Zealand, which doesn't give me a lot of confidence in the charter constitution. Because if this is the one man who is the expert, that would mean that if the lawyers have to go to Hogg to get clarification on stuff, then it is written so poorly or it is written so deceptively that only apparently Mr. Hogg can deal with it. But again, listen to this. It should start at the 47 mark or 47:25 mark. If it doesn't, then just go back and push it over to the 47 mark and listen to it from there. Okay, here's a comment from Duck, who's not in the bucket today. So, I forgot to tell you that, Duck. I asked everybody on Tuesday to think good things of you while you were in the bucket. And I also said that maybe it's time to start a new franchise here in Canada, because Kentucky Fried Chicken obviously is not Canadian, not from Kentucky anyways, and we have Kentucky Fried Chickens all over this nation, so I was explaining to the people in the chat that maybe it's time that we did a new franchise and called it a Bucket of Duck or Duck in a Bucket, because you are in the bucket 2 days a week, and so, you know, maybe that's... yeah, but anyways, back to your question. When we go before council members, how do we get them to listen? It's very simple. You phone your local council office or your municipal office, and you tell them you wish to book a delegation. When you book a delegation, depending on the particular municipality, you will have anywhere from 5 minutes to 10 minutes to speak, at which time the floor is yours. You can say whatever the hell you want to say for that time period. What they have done in the old days, what is that? F me, was that about the duck in a bucket or going to the council? I don't know. Tired of chicken? Come on down to the bucket of duck and get some real Canadian meat. I think it's a great idea. in fact, maybe we could get all the jails in Canada to serve up bucket of duck. You know, that would be a good thing. Keep the incarcerated healthy. Most of 90... What would you think, Chris? What would you think? I'm thinking about 90% of the people in Canadian jails are there for offenses in which nobody was harmed. I could be wrong. Could be around 80%, but it's damned high anyways. Most of the people sitting in jails in this country should not be sitting in jails in this country. Period. But again, it's all about money, isn't it? It's all about money. And you are money. And they want the money. So they come get it. It's no different. Throwing people in jail for offenses where there was no harm caused, obviously, is against the law. But it's no different than the Children's Aid Society, where it's a bounty. The Children's Aid Society is about a bounty on children. They make so much per head. Now, they don't explain it that way. They explain it as their clientele base. But they are totally dependent on that clientele base for their money. Want more money? Get another kid. That's a bounty. And everybody in this province, everybody in North America, has a bounty on their heads. Okay? There's so many rules, regulations, and so-called laws that eventually most people are going to get busted for something that caused no harm. And you got these cops out there driving around in the cars. We bought them. With a gun on their hip that we bought, with tasers we bought, handcuffs we bought, pensions we're paying for, wages we're paying for, and all they do is ride around Sally looking for bounty. And then they drag you into the court where the bounty is collected. Or they throw you in jail where the bounty is collected. Each and every man, woman, and child in this country, in North America, has a bounty on their heads. And they call that the legal system. And everything they put forward is there to extract from you. That's the bounty. If we don't get you with this bounty, we'll get you with that bounty. But we're going to get your ass. When I read an article or some data that over a period of, I think that was what it was, 7 years, every single man, the equivalent of every single man, woman, and child in this province of 15 million people thereabouts had been fined. That means every single man, woman, and child, from the newborn to the 99-year-old, the equivalent, over a seven-year period, had all paid a fine of some sort or another. That's a bounty. Or the so-called government has decided that everyone in this province is a criminal. Simple as that. And we better get sick and tired of that bullshit pretty quick. Christopher, you're calling in because you want to do something about this duck in a bucket shit, right?
Well, I tried calling in, or I tried responding in chat, but somebody shut my chat down on me.
Well, I didn't.
I think it was you.
No, it wasn't me. Where do we go before? How do we get to council? Then it seems they just smile as they kill. Then there's fuck you, Ron, and the smiley face. So I don't know. I don't know who cut you off. It certainly wasn't I.
No, you asked a question. I tried to type it in, but
I'm pretty solid. I'm a moral man, but I do suffer from one thing, and that is I get very depressed each day if at least somewhere through the day, at least one person doesn't say, fuck you, Ron. So I hadn't had that said to me today, and so I was starting to get depressed, and so I want to thank you for saying that.
Well, I'm here for you, Ron.
I know. I appreciate that. You got to get a laugh somewhere, right?
The system, it's really, really getting weird right now. I'll be honest with you. It's kind of a good thing that I'm within it.
I think so.
Because, well, I'll tell you why. Because in the old days, your punishment for doing something wrong was to ostracize you from society. And that was tough in itself. And I hope you're not getting reverbed, because I'm on Skype now and I don't have headphones.
No, it sounds great.
Okay, because the phones aren't working. But anyways, and people are saying, well, no, you know, you're complaining because we got feces on the floor. We've got some really nasty things going on inside of the jail system right now. And people are saying, well, you know, you're a criminal. You deserve it. Well, do 7 days on your own just being in there with the creature comforts of home, but not being allowed to make phone calls or leave to go grocery shopping and see how you feel.
And
that used to be punishment enough. Just the fact that you could not move. They held you within the confines of bars, and you could not move. Now to the point where they feel they've got to use draconian measures. It's getting really nasty. Well, you're in here. You must be in here for a reason. So therefore, we're going to treat you like a piece of garbage, and you're going to walk in garbage, and we're going to make sure that that's what you do. And that's exactly what's happening now, Ron.
Well, when you're saying that, you know, I was just thinking if everyone had to spend, like you said, 7 days in the system, that particular end of the system, I think you would find that the people that went into these places and are asking those who actually are in there because of the court system started asking them why they're in there, and they heard some of the stupid stories of why they're in there, and they didn't cause anybody harm. And like you said, it's getting pretty dirty in these places.
Yep.
I would think that would go a long ways to straightening the minds of the average man, woman out, and make them look totally different with a different set of eyes at this entire legal system. You would probably find these people protesting like hell. You can't treat people like this. But most people don't go in there. They pay their fines. They don't fight the things. And so they just do, like, I paid my fine. Why didn't you pay your fine? I got my license renewed. Why didn't you get your license renewed? You're in here because you deserve it. If they were actually in there for 7 days, I think they would have a whole different outlook on this nonsense.
I was actually explaining that to my son. I said, you know, you don't really, like, my son feels for me. He knows that his dad got in prison for trying to get to work. Personal circumstance, and that's all it was.
Take the bus.
But they got to steal my truck to boot.
Well, we can always use an extra truck.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
But I said, unless you're in there, like, people think, well, the guy's in jail. Obviously, he's a criminal. He deserves it. He's got to learn his lesson. But they're getting confused now with what used to be a lesson as to back in the Roman days, what used to be torture. I'm not suggesting it's torture yet. But I'm telling
well,
you,
I don't think you're. I don't think you're
skipping a line here. That's it's getting pretty bad, buddy. It's getting to the point where the guards, if they had guns and they were allowed to shoot you, they'd probably consider it because well, you're sure. just scum. If you got an orange suit on, obviously you're guilty of something. So therefore,
when did they start this orange suit nonsense?
Oh, it's been going on forever.
Well, no, I was in...
You got orange suits, you got white. Depends on
jail.
Depends on
we
your,
had, when I was in jail... Yeah, but when I was in jail, we had blue jeans and blue jean shirts.
Yeah, me too.
So when did they go orange?
Well, orange is... Well, now, like, in the jail system here, Orange is for minimum security to medium. And then you wear blue and white if you're maximum security.
I was just in the county jail for a week or so.
So then they know who you are. Like, they know how dangerous you are. But they're treating the local traffic offender as bad as they're treating the local rapist and murderer.
Well, they're treating them worse because I just saw another lawyer here. I did a show there about the lawyers that was sent to me from a gentleman up Thunder Bay who managed to steal $61 million from their clients. And most of them just walked away and were not reprimanded. The police were never called on any of these cases because the Law Society disciplines their own. And I see another lawyer here just got busted for... child pornography, and it went before the tribunal at the Law Society of Upper Canada, and they found that he was no threat to anybody. Now, you were trying to go to work. That's a different thing. This guy was just involved in child porn, which we know is a lot less a detriment to the society than you driving around in your truck going to work. But he was found not to be a threat, and that they actually said in the article, if I can dig that up real quick, that even if I still have it, but that he was not only not a threat, what he did is probably fairly normal. As far as the rest of society is concerned.
Yeah.
I found that really difficult, but...
That's disturbing.
It's extremely disturbing, because they're saying that he didn't lose his license. Who's calling? It's the jail. You want... Duck back when? Now. No, he don't go back till Monday night. And that was just a jail. who is that? I'm just trying to dig out that that article, and I'm not finding it here. But anyways, it's just another lawyer. You know, we know how many police get off. Right? You know, same as Enos, he was beaten up by the police. He was harmed. He was hurt. He went to the hospital. The doctor was absolutely ticked right off that this happened. And but yet the cops just walk away from it, right? But you were trying to go to work. I think that was your mistake. You know?
I'm going to work too fast.
Well, here we go. I think this is it here. No, that's not it either. That's the Two Faces of Justice. I can't find it right now. But that's what happened. It was just recent. That the lawyer, and get this, the guy's a family lawyer, right? So he deals with children cases and that. So all they said was that he can't deal with people under the age of 18. But the fact is, he's still working. You're in jail. They didn't take his vehicle. And I would think that you just trying to go to work is less of a problem for society than lawyers who are hooked on child porn. So maybe we all ought to go be lawyers or policemen. Maybe if we're all lawyers and policemen, none of this stuff would be happening to us. Because this idea that the law... that nobody's above the law is absolutely incorrect. Absolutely incorrect.
Well, wasn't there a doctor? I read it in CBC News.
We saw one today.
Communist Network News, whatever, broadcasting communist news.
We went to get a coffee, and we came back from the reserve today.
Yeah, but this doctor, he ended up being a foot doctor because he screwed up on everything else. He ended up being a foot doctor and ended up with some amputations because of his work, fancy work on their feet. And then he ended up being a dentist or some goddamn. I mean, it took like 3 or 4 rounds of him being something else before they finally caught him and brought him to just us, it's just them. But because he was a professional, he got away with this for like decades of just scamming and harming people.
Yeah, we saw another story, and I don't
remember. Sells a friggin' ounce of pot, and he goes to prison for friggin' 2 years, less a day.
I don't
know. Maybe it's just me.
See, you should be in Alberta, right? Alberta court backlog could result in murder cases being thrown out. So there's all kinds, Chris, except drive to work. Right, they're going to throw out murder charges, and the lawyer can be a child porn guy. Ex-teacher guilty of sex charges said she's sickened by pain she's caused. Yeah, right. Where is that damn story? Anyway, it doesn't matter. It was another doctor and what he was doing, apparently. That was in today's paper. Why in the hell isn't it showing up? That's the other thing. I find sometimes that the online papers sometimes do not put in stories that are in print. I can't find it here. But just in case you think you're not working hard enough, Chris, it says here Ontario taxpayers are on the hook for $25 million over stalled wind power project. Energy company wins legal fight after province pulled the plug on offshore turbines. So not only did you get screwed, not only do we get screwed over for the ridiculous amount of money that's being spent on wind turbines, we're also being screwed on those that aren't even being built. So for $25 million, we got nothing. That's really sad.
Ron, I want to ask you if you can do the math on this. Kathleen Wynne, you know, Kingston is the belly of the beast, eh? Uh-huh. I think I've proven that to you time and time again. Kathleen Wynne was in Kingston yesterday and today, and she announced the fact that there's going to be a 5% increase on your hydro come November, which is already above and beyond the, 200% increase we've already gotten. And then they're going to be another 3% increase, I think, within the next 6 months or something, but not to worry, because as of next month, they're going to give you 8% off your hydro bill. Now, here's my question. She is allowing these increases, but she, through public funds, is going to give us 8% back off our hydro bill. So what that tells me is the corporation, and not necessarily totally the corporation known as our government, but the private portion, which is, 30% right now?
Oh, hey.
They are getting a 5% increase. Then they're getting another 3%
just a second.
Increase.
I'm on air right now. I can't do this.
Okay, well, here's
my
question.
We're off air in about, we got about 11 minutes. Can we do this on Saturday night or Sunday?
Well, who's paying for the increase is my question. Is that not an on-air question?
Okay, but I got to go, dear. Okay. Oh, I'm sorry, Chris. I just got a call from Calgary.
Oh, I thought you were talking to me.
I was talking to whoever I'm talking to. I got it was I think it was Helen from Calgary.
Okay.
To talk about the
weapon system. All right. Okay, so we got an 8%.
I got that part. So the 8%.
And then the government says, "Well, we're going to take 8% off your hydro bill."
Right.
So, in other words, the private sector, or the private for-profit corporation that owns, 30% of a hydro now, is getting this profit that they're stealing from us.
Mm-hmm.
But Kathleen Wynne, that wicked witch from the West, lesbian, is saying, don't worry about it because we're going to give you 8% back. But it's all public funds. So how are we saving...
Well, no, you're not. You're going in the hole more because
the 8%. We're paying 8% to save us 8%.
Yeah, well, the 8%.
But then on the other side, the private for-profit corporation is making 8%.
Yeah, and then you get to pay the rebate. Then you get to pay the rebate back at compound interest.
Holy crap! I'm so confused.
So you want confused? You want ridiculous? You're a sports guy, kind of, right?
No.
For all the sports people,
Bobby Orr, God,
this should be a case of libel against Kathleen Wynne. Kathleen Wynne takes a swing at the name of Cleveland baseball team on the eve of the Toronto Blue Jays AL Championship Series against Cleveland. Kathleen Wynne said, "Quote: This is a moment to increase our awareness," unquote, "of how hurtful such team names are to Indigenous people." Kathleen Wynne is taking a swing at the name and praising sportscasters for not using Indians in their broadcast. On the eve of the Toronto Blue Jays American Championship against Cleveland, Wynne said, yada, 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 "People are understanding the relationship between Indigenous and non-Indigenous people differently. There's lots happening. This is happening in the sports realm. We're changing their curriculum. The Truth and Reconciliation Commission. So there's a lot going on," she said Thursday. "It's really a good thing that we see sportcasters changing their language," the premier said. Yada, yada, yada. So, but this again is straight out of the freaking United Nations, because the United Nations, and I've read those documents a long time ago, are using everything to push their message, and one of what they're using is sports teams. Why? Because a great number of people follow sports, and it's a great place to push the propaganda. And what did you call her? A lesbian what?
Dyke bitch. Name it. Yeah. I'll call her it.
Yeah, but her, I wouldn't be able to explain to my grandchildren why that language wouldn't change. I might be able to explain what it was used in the first place and how the relationship wasn't a good relationship and people didn't treat each other well. Are you being treated well, Chris? Do you feel you're being treated well? You know, you got the premier of this freaking province out there bitching at the Cleveland team because of the name of the team. Now, her comments come as the Human Rights Commission is looking at a complaint about Mississauga's sports team names. This is right out of the United Nations. There was no Human Rights Commission until the Human Rights of the United Nations was spawned. And this is basically the same as the ADL. Okay? If you say anything about anything that we said you can't say something about, it becomes a human rights problem. It becomes hate speech. And all I got to say on that is you better keep saying what you mean and mean what you say. And if somebody don't like it, well, walk away. But do not tell me what I can and cannot say.
How about them red blacks, eh?
Huh?
The red blacks. Isn't it Ottawa? I don't know. I don't watch them sport. But they call that new team the Red Blacks, and there was a big outcry about that.
Really?
Yeah, who is that? Ottawa? Ottawa, is that a football team or a soccer team or baseball? The Red Blacks. They call me,
so because,
maybe it's not Ottawa. It might be Calgary. I don't know who it is.
Because
the Red Blacks. And they went, oh, my God, you can't call them the Red Blacks.
Really?
Yeah. So anybody knows, let me know. Cause
Cleveland's
I know it's
team.
Called the Red Blacks. I don't know where they're from. I think it's Ottawa, but I could be wrong. Toronto, maybe. No, I think it's Ottawa.
It's a really good thing that we see sportcasters changing their language, the Premier said. Hailing longtime Jays broadcaster Jerry Howarth, I wonder if that's related to the NDP leader, same last name, who has refused to use First Nations nicknames since 1992 World Series when Toronto defeated the Atlanta Braves. Now, Cleveland's had the same name since 1914, so it would only take somebody like Kathleen Wynne to use this as an opportunity. See, this whole United Nations thing is a psychological war against us and a spiritual war because they're Satanists in order to get us to act and think differently. To act and think the way they want us to act and think, and if we fail to do so, we'll be browbeaten or jailed. It's got to be pushback time now. Because Wynne, our premier, is not indigenous, obviously she's outside the realm of being hurt by indigenous names. So I guess we have every right to call. Would you call her? She's a lesbian cow from hell. Is that
Dyke.
She? Something like that.
Dyke.
Dyke.
Lesbian,
right.
Dyke cow from hell.
And, we know there's been a lot of
fish
in that dyke, right? And it's still leaking garbage. We're gonna. This is coming apart at the seams, and we're just gonna keep pushing until it does come apart at the seams. I am so sick and tired of these jackasses running around. On the one hand here, you're on the hook for $25 million because some company didn't get to put their windmills up. And at the same time, the same premier who just kissed off another $25 million, making sure that these overseas companies are making the money that they were promised to make if they jumped on the green wagon. We have the same idiot bitch from hell down here telling that they can't use Cleveland Indians. You can use the Cleveland baseball team or something, but you can't say Indians. Who in the hell does she think she is? Well, I know who she is. She's a mouthpiece for the UN. How do we know that? Because all governments everywhere are implementing the UN agenda and have been for a long, long time. And lucky for us, right here in Ontario, our Lieutenant Governor, Queen, sitting in place of, came from the United Nations, was schooled by Maurice Strong, who set up this nonsense with the renewable energy in order to fill his friends' pockets with your money. This premier ought to be taking up your feces-covered floor cell, my friend, is where she should be. And hopefully, we'll get it. Chris, thanks for calling in. Give some thought to that duck buck. And we'll be back on Saturday night.
Selling lies and buying time, killing people next in line. Lower class and social slime, they don't matter. Genocide, sick from water, sick from air. Hey. Making money, yeah. They don't care. Caesarship, force of death. Fuck them back, it's only for the war. They shoot, they kill, they master parade. They burn the kids, no one thinks gun. Trees, lie to your face.